So with that, inshallah, we'll entertain some of these questions. I know that the sisters have sent down some high-powered questions. And inshallah, we'll take them now, inshallah, and then we can end it. Can you explain to me how I can make this prayer, inshallah, and what time should it be made? Please write it down for me, inshallah, so I can try to make it 2 and 4 rak'ah at home for the women. At home for the women. And in reality, sisters, this prayer should be made in the masjid. This prayer, the sunnah of this prayer is to be made in the masjid. And you should stay in the masjid if you're able to do it. That's the sunnah of this particular prayer. And Allah knows best. The youth is 22, 23, 24, 25. They can't play with me. What's the difference between a virgin 15 years old and a 22-year-old with two children? Why can't we play? You can play. If your wife is 65 years old, you can still play with her. No problem. We're not saying that you can only play with the young ones. No, you can play, of course. Be my guest. This was the first question that was sent down. It says, but can they handle them? But can they handle them, right? Or is it just their nuff or the latest thing to do? So they disregard the women that are chaste with having been married. Why can't the women be young and have been married? Why can't they play with a non-virgin? And answer, of course, yes, if they can handle it, they'll get married, inshallah. And if she's a virgin or a non-virgin, you can play. Your husbands can play with you. Of course, nobody is saying that you can't play with non-virgins. But we're not going to hide the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah has encouraged the men to marry virgins. We're not going to hide that. I mean, this is the reality of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tazawwijul abkar, fa innahunna a'zabu afwahan wa antaqu arhaman wa arda bil yasir." Marry the virgins because they have the sweetest of mouths, they have the most productive of wombs, and they are most pleased with the least. That's his statement, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you know, did he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marry the older women who were married? Of course. Is it a strong sunnah to do that? Of course. But the stronger sunnah is what he told you to do, and he did, over what he did. Don't forget that. The strongest of the sunnah is what he told you to do and what he did, not what he did and didn't tell you to do. And he told you, with the strongest of terms, to marry the virgin. Did he tell you to leave off the non-virgins? No. We should marry all of them. We shouldn't have any women left unmarried so they can go into sin. Because being unmarried makes you go into sin. It can cause you to go into sin. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu knows best. And we're going to end it unless some sisters have any more questions. I'm sure that something else should come down soon after those statements. Yes, and here it is. And here it is, and it hit like a ton of bricks. There you go. What does a wife do when her husband disciplines the children by pulling on his ear and nose? Is this right? What do you do if you have a child who doesn't fear the strap? Well, first of all, if the man is pulling on the ear and the nose of the child, and this is it's causing pain to the child, or it may damage the child, then this is something that that should be avoided. It probably, and Allah knows best, it probably would be better to use some other means where we don't do any bodily harm whatsoever, and use that as a final measure. As a final measure. As for the child who doesn't fear the strap, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do about that at that stage. Actually, if we took the time to pay attention on more on how we reared the children, I think the average child would fear the strap. If we put that fear in them in the beginning, then the average child would fear the strap. As for the child who doesn't fear the strap, there is something that you can intimidate that child with. There's something that you can threaten that child with that will make that child do what you want them to do. And if that's the case, if you have a case where nothing works, then it's possible that you have a shaitan. It's possible that you have a shaitan. And that's a reality that we have to look at. And part of it is going to be our fault. Because the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has told us when we enter into our wives sexually, We should say, Allahumma jannibna shaytan wa jannib shaytan ma razaqtana mimma razaqtana. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Make that dua before you go into your wives sexually, and shaitan won't be able to touch you with what Allah is going to provide for you. You'll be protected. So this is something that we should, inshallah. You can find that dua in authentic supplications and also in the book called Supplications of the Night and the Day, inshallah. Please repeat what you said, the translation to complete the following. Leave the whip hanging so the people in your household can see it, for surely there's a means of training for them. That's it. That's the hadith. Anything you heard after that was my statement, or the explanation of that statement. Let's take the rest of these, inshallah. What is the exception of raising a weapon to a Muslim, and is it okay to beat your children with a belt, hanger, etc.? No, we shouldn't be beating our children with hangers. I mean, it's discouraged to beat your children, period. Now, I mean, extension cords and hangers and pulling their fingernails out and, you know, putting toothpicks in their eyeballs and stuff. Nah, come on. This is torture. This is torture. This is something that we should stay far away from, inshallah. As for raising a weapon to a Muslim, we already know about this. The hadith is clear. You should not raise a weapon to a Muslim because shaitan can poke you and make your hand slip, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And you can harm your brother in Islam or your sister in Islam. Having adolescents, young adults who are disrespectful, causes a Muslim parent to want to use the whip often. Is this consideration an extreme case? Do you happen to know what we can use to beat with? Is a belt used for beating considered a weapon? No, a belt used for beating is not considered a weapon. And if you have an extreme case, then I suggest that you stand up at night with your husband, or if you're single, you stand up at night as much as you can, and you make tahajjud to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your condition. And I suggest it. Not so remote, not so out of reach, far-fetched idea is to ask Allah to let you make hijrah to a Muslim country. For when the man killed the 99 people and then he went to the monk who didn't have a lot of knowledge, obviously, he asked him, is there any tawbah for me? He said, Wallahi la tawbata laka. There's no tawbah for you, I swear by Allah. So he killed him and made him 100. And after he killed the 100th person, then he went a little bit further and he found a religious, knowledgeable man. And he asked him, I told him, I just killed 100 people. Is there any tawbah for me? And the man said, of course. But first you have to go to this land where the people are righteous. Just let you know that environment helps. So if you have a son or a daughter that's out of hand, I would suggest that you stand up at night as much as you can. You fast on Mondays and Thursdays as much as you can. You do as many good deeds as you can. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you with your child. And if your child has become one of those, as you have in quotes, extreme cases, then you need, no, that's okay. You need to get rid of the problem. This may sound extreme for those who may hear this tape in the future, but you may just have to get rid of the problem because you don't want that problem infesting the other members of your household. I'm not telling you to throw out your children. And what I mean by get rid of the problem, I'm not telling you to get them locked up or send them to a kafir home or send them to jail or something like this, boys town or whatever. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you, you have to get rid of the problem within the realm of Islam, the Quran and the authentic sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to take this next one and then we're going to take the one from the brothers, inshallah. If a child is said to be the shaitan, will he grow out of it and be a righteous believer, or will he be doomed to hell? Allah knows best. What we mean by shaitan, we mean an individual who just won't that the fear of Allah and the punishment of Allah has no effect on. That's what we mean by shaitan. The fear of Allah and the intimidation of Allah and the punishment of Allah has no effect whatsoever on the child. That's what we mean by that. As far as them growing out of it, anybody can be relieved of bad qualities and bad traits. Anybody. If they're given the right environment, if they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, anybody can be taken out of that situation. Nobody is exempt from leaving evil. Anybody can be removed from evil. Evil deeds and evil traits. Yes, you were going to say something. The brother's asking the question, can the sister make the dua when the man is sexually going to approach his wife sexually? Can the woman make the dua? To the best of my knowledge, I'm not saying she can't, but if we stick to the text The text says, when any of you approaches his wife, he should say. That's what the hadith says. When any of you, men, that's what it means, men, approaches his family, meaning his wife, then he should say. So this hadith is an indication to me, at least, that it's not the woman who's making the dua, that it's the man making the dua. Now, what if the man doesn't know the dua and she does? She says, repeat after me. Allahumma, Allahumma, jannibna shaytan, jannibna shaytan. Now she teaches him. Right? Nothing wrong with that. Okay? Alhamdulillah. How was the woman beat? With the lightest thing that you can think of beating her with, on the fleshiest parts of her body that are not seen normally by people. And it's usually done by you putting her, as the ulama say, by you putting her over your knee and spanking her. It's not a closed fist. It's not with an object. It's not done with an object. It's done with the open hand on the fleshy parts of her body, and it's done lightly, and it's done to intimidate, not to punish. I repeat, it's done to intimidate her, to make her come back to her senses. It's not for punishment. I repeat, it's not for punishment. It's not for punishment. It's not for punishment. It's not for punishment. It's to intimidate her and make her come back to the way of Allah, the book of Allah, and the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If you have a shaitan, how do you discipline a child? Because my child may be a shaitan because he was born out of wedlock. Hard-hearted individual. That's what we mean by a shaitan. Because this is the way Iblis is. He knows that this thing is wrong, and he still does it. Constantly, constantly. We're not talking about a mischievous child, a child that, you know, does something once in a while. That's not a shaitan. We're talking about a person who spits on people and urinates on people and curses at people, and he's 5 years old. And there's no profanity in the house whatsoever. There's no music playing. Everything is always Quran. Everything is a zikr of Allah. And you got a 5-year-old child who's cursing, taking his sexual organs and his private parts and urinating on people and throwing feces from the bathroom toilet on people. Stealing and always lying. He's 5, 6, 7 years old. That's a shaitan. That's a shaitan for sure. He tears up no book but the Quran. He sees magazines. He sees newspapers. And he knows that that's the Quran. He rips the pages out and spits on it and tears it up and steps on it. This is what we mean by a shaitan. Let's not just run away now and say that our children are shayateen. Alright? We're talking about an evil person. We're not talking about a mischievous person, a child that plays hooky from school or something like that. No, that's not a shaitan. A shaitan is a child that when you are making sajda, they come every day and they kick you in your back part. They pull your khimar, they pull your hair. They slap you. You see? Spit on you. Things like this. All the time. You know? This child has been touched by shaitan, for sure. And they need to get checked. Yeah, but belts don't work against shaitan. See, that's the point. A belt doesn't work against shaitan. The shaitan loves you to do that kind of stuff to him. Beat me. Beat me. Beat me. Beat me. Why do you think all these people running around right now? These sadistic, masochistic... It's because Shaitan has gotten with these people. They love punishment. They love to be the bleep. He cut me. Cut me. And a belt ain't going to do nothing to a person like that. What is a belt going to do to a shaitan? Nothing. Right? Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No. Right. And this is what we mean. But we mean by get rid of the problem. Get rid of that TV. Get rid of those kuffar friends. That's what we mean by get rid of the problem. I'm glad you brought that up. Allah, you better speak. Get rid of that music. How you expect your son not to be like that? How do you expect your daughter not to be like that? You let her go out the house with her ears showing and this little stingy khimar on. You know how back in the days, you older brothers, we used to have this thing called a stingy brim. You wear those hats, you have a stingy brim. I call that little headpiece, the little scarf they wear in their heads, a stingy khimar. You let her walk out with a pair of pants on, baggy jeans, with sneakers on, with no jilbab, and then you blame her for her shaitan action. No, you are aid and abettor to the crime. You are a partner in crime. So when we talk about get rid of the problem, we mean get rid of all that kufr and that inhiraf, that deviance, and that those jara'im that's happening in the house. That's what we're talking about. Get rid of that stuff. That's what we mean by get rid of the problem. I'm not talking about sending them to jail, sending them to Spofford detention, sending them to Bronx, sending them to the youth house. No, sending them to Division for Youth. Oh, it's in Brooklyn now? Oh, okay. I don't know. But anyway, get rid of the problem means make your house Islamic. That's what we mean by that. And get rid of that jahiliyyah from your house. That's what we mean by that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You going to say something else? Yeah. The question is it permissible to show affection to your wife outside, like kissing her, not what they call French kissing or tongue kissing? Is it permissible to give her a peck on the lips? And the answer to that is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu A'lam. Allah knows best. As for holding hands, it's permissible. Holding hands is permissible. I know this is permissible because we have evidence from the Sunnah. We have evidence for this from the Sunnah. As for kissing in the street, Allahu A'lam, you have to ask someone who has more knowledge than me, and it doesn't take that much to have more knowledge than me. Now, yeah, the brother is saying that it's possible that a child who has a jinn with him, it may be possible that he needs to be exorcised. Not exercised, but exorcised. He needs to be exorcised. That's possible, but we don't want to immediately go to that. We don't want to immediately jump to that the child has a jinn in him, or the child is a jinn, or something like that. We don't want to jump to that. But there's some things that we can do that we mentioned already in the previous classes that can get rid of these things. We have the solution for all these problems in the book of Allah and in the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, yeah, those who can't hear what he's saying, and because the tape was running, it's not off, the tape was running, he was saying in a nutshell that a lot of times the problems, or in many cases the problem, is because of the instability and the dysfunctional nature of the home. Like, for instance, he mentioned, if the child has seen five different men or five different male figures in the house, this has to have an effect on the behavior of the child. And we agree. No doubt we agree. If you find a situation where the children are recalcitrant and rebellious, if you look back sometimes, you'll see that they came from the mother or the father came from a broken home. Maybe there was alcoholism. Maybe there was drug addiction. Maybe there was a battered situation where the wife was battered, or the child was I know I'm on too many occasions when I was the imam of the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey, and even before that, just in counseling people in general, I can tell you dozens of cases that I have in my mental file cabinet. Dozens of cases where I eventually would ask while counseling, have you ever been sexually molested or assaulted? At least 6 out of 10. Yes, 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 yes. And this is something that has an effect on us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us victory over our histories, that we are able to succumb or able to overcome these particular things that have happened to us. And this is why I always applaud American Muslims. Not that we're special, but I always applaud American Muslims for coming to Islam and coming to the Sunnah, because we have some unique situations here in this country that that has been heaped upon us. And I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about American Muslims. American Muslims have gone through some really traumatic things that other people, Trinidad, Guyana, Pakistan, they don't usually find these things. You don't find the case, you know. It happens, but not as much as we find in this United States of Ash-Shaytan. So we have to be patient with each other. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our character. We need to stand up more at night and make tahajjud. We need to fast as much as we can. And we need to be selective, as this unauthentic hadith says. As this unauthentic hadith says, the meaning of the hadith is authentic. Be careful and select and look into the genealogy of the person that you're going to marry. In other words, do a little investigation. You know, you don't want to be sleeping with the enemy. And your child, who is unborn, has the right, and you have the obligation, to select the right type of person to come through the womb of your, what I should say, your child has the right that you select the right person for that child to come through. That's what I mean. In other words, you don't have any children right now. You're unmarried. Or you have a wife and you're looking for another wife. The child that is going to come as a result of you marrying that woman has a right before it's even born. Meaning, you need to be very careful on who you select. Because who you select and you become intimate with in a halal situation is going to be the teacher and the educator of the children who are going to come from that relationship. And that child has a right to have the best mother before you even meet her. And the same thing goes with the father. The women should be very selective on who they choose. And that's why I keep saying it over and over and over again from that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقُهُ وَدِينُهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ وَإِنْ لَنْ تَفْعَلُوا وَإِنْ لَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَتَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When someone comes to you, guardian, when someone comes to you and you are pleased with their deen and their character, then marry that woman to him. Then marry that girl to him. Doesn't make any difference if he's 40 years old and she's 16. Doesn't make any difference if he's black and she's white. It doesn't make any difference. If you're pleased with the character and the deen of that person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the strongest of terms said, فَزَوِّجُوهُ, marry that person to that girl. And if you don't do that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will cause fitna in the earth, not fitna in the house, fitna in the earth, and widespread corruption. We have a situation right now as we speak in Brooklyn, New York, of a brother who wanted to marry a young sister. And the parents won't let that brother marry that sister, and Allah knows best, simply because he's of one ethnic group, and Allah knows best because she's of another ethnic group. The girl has run away from home 3 times already, because she wants to marry him. 3 times. Now what happens if she goes out in the street, gets weak, and she commits zina? You have caused fitna in the earth and widespread corruption. You see? So we need to really follow the Quran and the authentic sunnah on the understanding of the Sahaba and those two succeeding generations. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And next class, next Thursday inshallah, Yom Khamis al-Qadim, next Thursday will be the last class of which we will be dealing with the subject, inshallah, on food. How we eat, when we eat, where we should eat, why we should eat, and the types of foods we should eat. This is the last class, inshallah, on how to develop an Islamic household or build an Islamic household. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for any of the mistakes or sins that we committed in any of these classes or all of the classes. And the end of our da'wah is an Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.